Thank you, George, and thank you to Gary, the chairman of the Economics and Marketing Conference, for the opportunity to participate in this conference. It is a great honor, and this is the first Cotton Conference of 2010 in this decade, so it's a double pleasure. I'd like to begin by drawing attention to the strong upward trend that has been going on in world cotton production. Now, our data at ICAC is kept in metric units, so my axes are measured in tons, but I've written in the bale equivalents on these charts, both for my benefit and yours. World production was around 65 million bales in the early 1980s. It had roughly doubled by the middle part of this decade, rising to 124 million bales. Now, it's since leveled off and fallen during the recession. It's estimated at 102 million bales this year. We're expecting a rise to about 111 million bales during the 2010-11 season. The average rate of increase in production over three decades has been 1.6 million bales a year. And the correlation is quite strong. Just time alone explains about three-fourths of the annual variation in world cotton production, which is quite a strong correlation for an economic variable. By country, we see China's production dropped from 8 million tons a year ago to an estimate of less than 7 million tons during the current season. We expect a rebound to nearly 8 million tons, or 36 million bales, during 2010-11. Spend just a moment drawing attention to the fact that about one-fourth of all the cotton in China is grown by the military. There's an organization in the far west called the Production Construction Corps. And I think this characteristic of Chinese production has not received or does not receive the attention that it deserves. This is an extreme form of state intervention in agriculture. And with all the talk in the WTO about agriculture and various forms of government involvement, and with the particular focus on cotton in the WTO, it is a surprise to me that this form of state intervention has not received more attention than it has. The military in China decides on its own what it will produce, where and when, whether it will contribute to the state cotton reserve or not, whether it will provide cotton to textile mills or not, how much of its own cotton it will spin, and whether or not it will import or export. And all of these decisions are opaque even to other Chinese. And so there's very a large proportion of Chinese production and the world cotton industry that is invariant to market signals. On this chart, China, skip India for a minute. The United States, Pakistan, Brazil are all expected to increase production. And most of those increases are related to increase in area in response to higher prices. I think we're all aware the Kotloke index is about 80 cents a pound now. It was less than 60 cents a pound a year ago. Grain and oilseed prices are lower than they were a year ago, and so the competitiveness of cotton has improved a great deal. India is different from the others in one respect. We do not expect a higher area devoted to cotton in India, because area at 10 million hectares in India is about as high as it ever has been or is expected that it can go. But India continues to improve yields in incremental steps. We're expecting production to rise to about 24 million bales. Expecting a small increase in U.S. production to about 14 million bales, relatively small in the world total. The increase in production in Pakistan to 10 million bales, Brazil expanding to 6 million, Uzbekistan, a perennial exporter of 5 million bales, all of Africa, including North Africa, West and Central Africa, East and Southern Africa, accounts for about 6 million bales of world production. That's very little change from year to year. Australia and Turkey producing about 2 million bales each. Consumption. Only the Asian countries are expected to expand mill use. Mill use in China dropped from 10 million tons down below 9 million tons in the 08-09 season. It's recovering a bit this year. We expect a further recovery during 10-11 to 43 million bales. Mill use in India, likewise, was higher. It fell during the recession. It's recovering this season. We're expecting mill use of cotton in India to rise to 20 million bales. Pakistan, same pattern, expecting an increase in mill use to 12 million bales by next season. Turkey, Brazil, Bangladesh, pretty much unchanged. We agree with the figure that Gary gave yesterday of 3.4 million bales for the United States this season. And we're expecting another incremental decline in U.S. mill use to 3.3 million bales in 10-11. I was asked in the hallway about the long-term outlook for U.S. Textile production and cotton mill use. There's an annual survey done by the International Textile Manufacturers Federation on shipments of spinning, weaving, and knitting equipment. They survey the manufacturers of those equipment and where the country or the countries of destination for those shipments. Since the early 90s, even before U.S. cotton mill use began declining, the U.S. has been at the bottom of that survey, meaning that for a good two decades now, the United States has not been investing in spinning equipment that would allow it to maintain production capacity at a competitive level. And in recent years, U.S. machinery shipments have dropped even further. So we expect that the competitiveness of the U.S. textile industry will continue to decline over time. World cotton imports rose from 28 million bales at the beginning of this decade. It reached 44 million bales in the 05-06 season. And that is highly correlated with China, which went from imports of zero to imports of 19 million bales. World trade in cotton has tailed off in recent years. We estimated at 33 million bales this year, with China accounting for 8 or 1/4. And we are seeing a decline in imports, or essentially the same for next year at 32 million bales, again, China accounting for 8. The reason that we are not seeing a stronger increase in trade is demonstrated by this chart. This is a ratio, world imports divided by world mill use of cotton each season. There are some years when it's outside this usual range, but most of the time, world imports are about 1/3 of world consumption, meaning the ratio is around 30 to 35. In the 05-06 season, that was clearly an unsustainable level when China imported a huge amount of cotton to build its state reserve. But in recent years, that ratio of imports to mill use has dropped below 30%. It is getting up to the bottom of that range this year, represented by that yellow dot. But current indications are that importing countries, the largest being China, are not intending to change their government policies in ways that would allow imports to expand next season. And I use the word allow intentionally. World trade is managed by the largest importing countries. These are government decisions based on domestic considerations that determine how much cotton these countries, with China being the leading importer, will allow. And the government of China, it's always a difficult process. There are no clear indications of government policy, but the indications we have at this point are that China will choose to release cotton from the state reserve and import only enough cotton to maintain its stocks at their current level. They will not allow sufficient imports for their stocks to rebuild, and that'll result in either no gain in trade or a very small gain in trade. We expect U.S. exports in the 10-11 season to be 10.7 or nearly 11 million bales. The U.S. Will remain the largest cotton exporter by a wide margin. India is expanding exports this season, shown by that middle bar, the blue bar. As Gary explained yesterday, India built stocks in 08-09. They're now they have those stocks to ship this year, but by next year we expect that some of those stocks will be depleted, so we expect their exports to drop to 5 million bales. Uzbekistan produces 5 million, they use about 1 million, they export about 4 million. That's a number you can count on in most years. CFA stands for the currency of Francophone Africa. This is a nine-country region that uses a common currency. It's basically West Africa. The biggest exporters are Burkina Faso and Mali. Altogether, that region will be accounting for about 2.5 million bales of exports, not a major change. Exports from Brazil, a little less than 2 million bales, and exports from Australia, about 1.7 million bales. So, world cotton production rose to 124 million bales back in 2004-05, a year when consumption rose, but consumption was 109 million bales. That resulted in a 15 million bale gap between production and consumption, and that gap has actually grown a little bit. It has persisted with the cotton industry to this date. In the current season, 09-10, shown by the circle on the right, world consumption is finally above production by a significant amount. So consumption this year is about 109 million bales, production about 102 million bales. So for the first time since 2004-05, the world is using up about half of those stocks that were built up during the 2004-05 season. For 10-11, we're expecting 2 to 3% growth in consumption, so consumption would rise to 111 million. We're expecting stronger growth in production in response to higher prices, so production also rising to about 111 million. Nevertheless, the strongest single indicator of the direction of change in the Cotlook A index, and the Cotlook A index is an indicator of average world prices, and we track the annual averages of the index. The strongest indicator of changes in that index is not the world ratio of stocks to use, but stocks to use in the world outside of China. Theoretically, China is excluded from this stocks to use ratio for two reasons. One is that stocks are so poorly known or so poorly measured that we have no confidence in the Chinese stock number. And a second reason is that, again, the Chinese cotton economy is highly managed, and so it's an economy that does not respond to market signals in ways that other countries do. And so empirically, we found that since the early 1970s, or using data from the early 1970s, this ratio of ending stocks to mill use in countries other than China is the best single indicator of changes in the Cotlook A index. Earlier in this decade, that non-China stocks to use ratio was between 45 and 50. The ratio got up to 60% in 2004-05 and has generally been up in that range in the years since. It's finally dropping. This season, that turquoise dot represents this year's stocks to use ratio. It's finally getting back down toward 50%. And during the 10-11 season, even though world production and consumption will be in balance, we're expecting an imbalance between production and consumption outside China that'll result in further drawdown in this ratio of stocks to use. So as Wally Darnielle mentioned yesterday, this would imply that there's continued support for world cotton prices. From the early 70s through the 80s to the late 90s, there's a lot of variation in the Cotlook A index, but the average over that period was 74 U.S. cents a pound. Starting in 1998 and continuing through the current season for 11 years, the index has averaged only 58 cents a pound. Our estimate for the season average A index in the 9-10 season is 70 cents, and there's a 95% confidence interval that goes from roughly 65 to 75 cents a pound. So cotton prices are higher, they are trending higher in recent years. They still are not as high as the average that prevailed during the decades of the 70s, 80s, and 90s. There are a number of reasons why cotton prices have been falling in real terms, and I'll talk about those in a minute. But to start with, I'd like to draw attention again to trends in production. This is the same chart I showed at the start of the presentation. World production trending upward from 65 million bales to a record of 124 million, having fallen recently. But if you notice where the circles are, even within a strong upward trend, you can have long periods in which there is little growth in the cotton industry. A cardinal error in statistics is to compare a peak to trough, and I admit I'm doing that. Nevertheless, in the early 80s and by the early 2000s, a period of 20 years, there was almost no growth in world production of cotton. It remained around 20 million tons. That'd be some 85 million bales during that whole period. My point is, even in a strong upward trending data series like cotton production, you can have long periods of no growth. One of the reasons that we feel that cotton production is again in a long period where there will be little growth in world production is shown by this chart. This chart starts in January of 1990. It's a ratio of the price of cotton to prices of, in one case, wheat, in another case, corn. I could show the same charts for soybeans and rice. It would just clutter up the chart, but the same pattern prevails. Ratios of cotton to grain have been falling, not just in recent years, they've been falling for about 20 years. Cotton prices relative to grain prices are moving lower over the long term. There are two reasons, two fundamental reasons. Cotton competes with polyester. And that puts a lid or puts a break on the growth in consumption. And the food grains and oilseeds have no synthetic competitor. They compete with each other, but they have no synthetic competitor. And a second cause for this is that cotton is a more technical crop than these competing crops. And as technology has improved in recent decades, cotton yields have grown faster than yields of competing crops. Therefore, demand for cotton has been slowed by competition with polyester, while the supply of cotton has been encouraged by the developments in technology that have led to higher yields, and cotton prices relative to competing crop prices have been falling over the long term. Over the last several decades, world cotton area has averaged 82 million acres. There's variation year to year caused by all the usual factors of price and weather, but the average has been 82 million acres. We feel because of a continuing downward trend in the price of cotton relative to grain, that the average level of world cotton area over this next decade is going to drop about 10% to 74 million acres. Now, I draw the white squiggly line there, and that's just a freehand drawing. That's not a model result. There's always year-to-year variation in area, and year-to-year variation will continue. But we think there's a secular structural decline in the competitiveness of cotton relative to grains and oilseeds. This will be exacerbated by government policies that are encouraging biofuel production. And over the long term, or this next decade, we think world cotton area will be lower on average than it has been in recent decades. Another factor affecting cotton in the long term is what we see as a plateauing in yields. In the early 80s, the world cotton yield was around 360 pounds per acre. By the 1990s, it was leveled out at around 500 pounds per acre. And that jump from roughly 400 to 500, a lot of that was caused by the adoption of pesticides in developing countries. From the 90s to this decade, world cotton yields have gone up another step, climbing from 500 pounds per acre to about 700 pounds per acre. And biotechnology has been the biggest single factor, not the only factor, but the biggest single factor in this jump. At this time, we're aware of many technologies that are being developed, but we're not aware of any that are going to significantly raise cotton yields worldwide that are ready for commercial adoption in the next few years. Again, there's always incremental change, and there are a lot of new technologies being worked on, including biotechnologies, developments in mechanical harvesting, developments in conventional breeding, focus on resource conservation, including water use. There are a lot of things going on, but the kinds of technologies such as mechanization in the 50s and 60s, the advent of synthetic fertilizers in the 50s, 60s, 70s, the adoption of pesticides worldwide during the 70s and 80s, and then the development of biotechnology more recently, we don't see anything like that continuing. So we expect yields to level out. Therefore, we're expecting over this decade that world cotton production is not going to rise as fast as it has. Production has gone from 65 to 124 million bales. Again, a white squiggly line. There will continue to be a year-to-year variation caused by all the things that we talk about each year. But we expect a slower trend growth in world production so that a decade from now, the average level of production will still be no higher than it was in the 04-05 season. As a result of slower growth in production, we expect average price levels to be higher than they have been recently. And the A index averaged 74 cents in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, 58 cents this decade. We're expecting an average A index between 60 and 70 cents a pound, again with the caveat of year-to-year variation, but a higher average level prevailing during this next decade. Despite average nominal prices for cotton, the average revenue per cotton when deflated will continue down. And this, I'll close with this chart. In 2000, using 2008 dollars, in other words, deflating cotton prices to constant dollars and going back to the 1970s, taking average yield times price each year, but keeping price deflated. Revenue per hectare worldwide was between $2,000 and $3,000 in the early 70s, and it's been trending downward strongly in the years since. Now, the last decade, the strong growth in yields helped to offset the decline in real prices, but with yields now plateauing, we expect this downward trend to continue again. So although nominal prices may be higher, revenue per hectare is going to continue downward, and that'll be a major challenge for cotton producers to face. George, I'll close with that, and I'm not sure how to go to the next. Thank you very much.